A roll call.
Hang on just a second. I'm just going to go around. Gary Cho's.
Here.
Do I say your name, Robert Keeney? Yeah. I don't know. I don't usually do this. Valerie Bailey. Here. Yes, this is what I'm looking for. Mary Lou Bausch.
Here.
Nate Dreckman.
Here.
I'll just go down the list. Vicki Hirsch.
Here.
Kathy Cott.
Here.
Mark Stead.
Here. I thought she was the last one.
Oh, okay. She is not here. She thought she was going to be able to come to this meeting, which is why I have that on the agenda. And then she realized she had another appointment scheduled, so she will be here next month.
Okay, approval of the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second. Okay, all those in favor of approval of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, approval of minutes, March 18th, 2026.
Feels like forever ago, doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
If there are no corrections, I'll make a motion to accept.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion made and second. Approval of minutes, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Okay, number six, ADRC appointment, Brenda Cowish.
Yes, I was going to introduce her, but then I talked to her a couple days ago, and she realized she'd already had an appointment scheduled at that time. So she will be here next month.
Okay.
Do you want to say anything about her? You appointed her, so.
No, you covered it.
Okay.
Okay, number seven.
Lexi. Brenda's from Bob. If you're asking where she's from, she's from Bostonville area. She was our former mayor.
Mayor,
he actually
yeah.
recommended her since his
she's been in a lot of quite a few of the economic development meetings and that all the years. I think people are familiar with her.
So Gary's position changed slightly because no one's come to board, so he's a board rep.
Yeah.
So
we need a new chair.
Yes, so we have to do election of officers, and I do this so infrequently, so help me out here, you people that are better parliamentarians than I am. So we need to elect a chair and vice chair.
Nominate Mark Stead for chair.
I'll second. I make a motion that nominations be closed.
I second it.
Yeah. We're all drunk
about
it. It's not a railroad job.
Yeah. It was Kathy that nominated, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why I struck into
And who did the second?
Well,
thank you.
I just second closed nominations.
I was going to say, maybe seconded
it. I seconded it.
Wow, that was fast.
I said, I'm going to use these. I hope I don't need them because I didn't want to have to deal with that.
You don't.
All right. Do you have the closed nomination stuff down? Because I don't. We can move on if you do.
I can always. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
You maybe go back and look at the recording better than I can.
So we vote on it?
Yes.
All right. Okay. All those in favor of Mark Steve being on. A new chair of the ADRC, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Vice chair.
All right. Do you take over now then?
Yeah. You should.
Okay. Nominations are open for vice chair.
Slow it down, people.
Nominations
Mark hardly ever misses a meeting, so you're not going to have to do it very often.
I nominate you.
I'll second that.
Valerie has nominated Kathy Cobb, and that's been seconded by Mary Lou. Are there any other nominations?
I make motion nominations closed.
And I'll second it.
Wow. Motion's been made to close the nominations. By Mary Lou, seconded by Valerie. And that's unanimous ballot for Kathy. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
It's only because Mark always beat
Yes.
We'll move on to committee meeting time.
Are you good with this?
This time works for me.
Good with this time? Okay, everybody?
I have a meeting before, but I get out just.
Oh, just in time. All right. So.
Go by consensus, we'll leave it the.
Okay.
Third Wednesday at 9.
All right.
And we'll move on to advocacy reports or activities.
All right, we've got senior farmers market nutrition program coming up June 1st. Hopefully the vouchers arrive this week because we still haven't gotten them. Getting a little nervous, but hopefully they will be here. People are eligible to receive $25 in farmers market vouchers to be used at any farmers, any approved farmers market. To be eligible for the program here, they must be a Grant County resident. They have to meet some eligibility, income eligibility, and age eligibility guidelines. But it's a really nice program. They get fruits and vegetables, and very nice.
Lori, how many approved farmers markets are there in the county?
They keep going. They add up. So we have quite a few. And you don't have to have, you don't have to stay in the county. A lot of our people use them in KTLs for apple orchards are all approved, usually at least a few of those. So they can, they have to be, for our vouchers, they have to be Grant County residents, but to use them, they can use them at any approved. So there's a lot.
Okay.
And we usually send out the stand list from like Crawford County, Iowa County, Grant County. So, yeah, a lot of them keep them until the fall and use them for apples because apples are so expensive and they like to get them there. We usually do an apple orchard trip and then a lot of them use them on that. So it's kind of nice. But yeah, it's a good program. So we will be out. We usually go out to all the congregate meal sites once and distribute some and then we'll have them available here too. So, should I just keep going?
Yes.
Okay. May is Older Americans Act. So we've had a number of different events kind of happening during the month. And we had Aging Advocacy Day on May 6th. It was virtual this year. They would like us to possibly meet with legislators sometime between now and fall because I have some advocacy alerts here. So we'll probably try to schedule something. In the past, we used to do a combined county one, but that's your region. So I'll probably talk to Howard and Travis and see if they're interested in attending. So the big three issues that they discussed were an increase in the home delivered meals by the state. And I'll pass these around to you. I didn't print them all out because I don't know how much paper you guys want. So I will be happy to get you copies if you want them. So I'm going to pass that around. We're one of the lower states in terms of funding some of the home delivered meals, which actually surprised me. So we're trying to get a little bit more home delivered. As you know, we don't get near as much in home delivered as we do in congregate. So definitely a need there. Especially with the price of food and the economy, people are in need of meals. The second issue they were looking at was increasing the funding for ADRCs by $19.9 million a year. I'm all for that. So you can look at that. And then the third one was some fall prevention. We are one of the highest places in the country for fall in emergency rooms visits. So again, not a great thing. So again, looking at preventing some of that. It does show that some of the prevention, $1 billion is spent annually on falls related health costs in Wisconsin. More than 51,000 older people went to the emergency room due to a fall in 2023, and over 11,000 were hospitalized. So, pass those around. If you want a copy of any of that, obviously, if we meet with legislators, we'll have that available again, but I'm happy to provide a handout to you. Also got the upcoming events again. I don't want to kill too many trees, so we'll pass that around. We've got a lot of events coming up in June. I thought May was bad, but June is worse, or better, I should say. Our dementia care specialist has a lot of workshops coming up. They're really good. So if you're interested in any of those, let us know. June is Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month, and it's also Elder Abuse Month, or Day, actually. So we're hoping that we can get the dome of the courthouse purple. It's been purple once, so I know it can be done. And then, like I said, Haley's got a lot of workshops coming up, and then we've got some other things going on, too. So. All right. And then my last thing, I was going to do this as a PowerPoint, but we have Senior Medicare Patrol coming up after this meeting, so I was a little worried about time-wise, so I just did a handout on it, and again, I can give it to you. The state put together just some statewide data for ADRCs on our customers and who we serve and that sort of thing. So I just thought it might be interesting for you to see it.
Any questions of Lori on advocacy reports or any of the activities?
Oh, but I would like to have copies.
Sure.
Copies of the events.
Of what?
The events.
Okay, perfect.
So would I.
All right. We'll get them for you right after the attachments. What's that?
Could you just...
I can email them to you, too.
Just as attachments,
yeah.
And then
yeah.
We can
I can email them.
Yeah.
Yep. Can do that.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to transportation update, vehicle purchase clarification on ramp at IOD program.
So, the bid I brought to you, I looked at the brawn and thought it was the lift and realized it wasn't after the meeting. So I talked to Brett because I'm like, I have to have an electronic lift. That's not an electronic lift. And he got me one on a Pacifica. And then I talked to the state and the state does not have a vehicle with with the electronic lift on an approved state vehicle right now. So, so actually the bid I brought you is just fine because it doesn't have it and you've approved it, but I wanted to clarify that. We cannot get it. The Pacificas are not ADA certified. They're compliant in some areas, but that won't work for the state. So I find it hard to believe that a lot of taxis moving forward are going to use a fold-out ramp. Maybe they don't do as many as we do. I don't know. So so I broke the news to our taxi driver that it will be a fold-out. We still have our specialized vehicle has the electronic lift. So I'll probably have him driving that. And then we'll use the fold out for the special trips because the special trips are usually a one and done where in Lancaster he could have a lot in one day. He was a lot here. So anyway, that's just a clarification on that. I just wanted to make sure you knew that in case you see a new vehicle and you're like, that doesn't look electronic, Lori, so it's not. the state sent me the paperwork for it, but didn't actually send me the approval, so I got to get back to them today. I just had an email from her this morning, and she said, here's the paperwork, and I'm assuming it's approved, but she didn't officially say that, so I will ask her. The Find Your Own Driver program, the pilot we're doing, you'll see it in the finance report. We're starting that up June 1st. It's in the news and views. And we've been working on some policies and procedures for that. I didn't want to start it up at the first of the year because we didn't put that much money into it. It's just a pilot. And so I didn't want to start it up and then run out right away and be like, okay, well, now we've got to wait another 6 months. So this way we've got 6 months to pilot it. And if it works, then we'll keep it. We'll know, hopefully we'll know by budget time whether it's going to work for us or not. So that will be starting up, and you will see that in the finance reports moving forward. And that's all I have on that, unless you've got any questions on either of those.
Okay, we'll move on to the capital improvement plan.
Okay. Most everything we have in here is going to be grant dependent or out of our trust fund. So we will be looking at probably getting another vehicle out of the trust fund next year. And then probably looking about that time the bus will be needed. So we'll probably be looking for a grant or per grant per trust. I do have copier in here, but I know the county is looking at, they is looking at trying to kind of combine copiers and getting better copier contracts. We are just out of contract this year, so they told me about what the life of them is. So I'm figuring by 28, we probably should be looking. So I did put it in there. And then by 29, I'm thinking we might be in line for a cargo room, so for nutrition. Hopefully we could get a grant for that as well. Any luck, that's kind of been pretty good to us. So that would be my thoughts, but everybody else always has those thoughts too. So not everybody can grant all the time. but that's it. So any questions on that, or if there's anything else anybody thinks we should have done?
Is there any major equipment or anything at any of the meal sites that's going to be needed?
Not that we got the big freezer, and really nothing that would be capital equipment.
Okay.
Most of our stuff is 3,000 and under usually. So, and again, we'll try to work some of that in. I am maybe going to ask for a cooler for Platteville from Eckstein. So Joe's been, he's usually contacting me every year wanting to know what we could maybe use. So, so we'll try to probably get that done. But no, most of it is steam tables and that sort of thing. So nothing too major. We probably should have approval on it. Right? You need approval on it, or is it for information on it? I guess ultimately you decide.
Well, ultimately it gets sent to executive as part of the whole county's capital improvement project. So, you know, I guess it was more so to come to each committee to have discussion. If you guys want to approve it to send it on, that would be appropriate as well. Absolutely.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the capital improvement plan as presented and send it on to the executive committee.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Valerie, seconded by Kathy. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 2025 budget.
Well, I thought this would be wrapped up, but it didn't wrap up until yesterday. We finally got the rest of our revenues yesterday. So the one you have does not include all the revenues in there. But we did get some additional revenues, which is good news. We were able to get, there it is. For reobligated funds, we were able to get some additional dollars for meals. And then a lot of our revenues just come in really, really late. The end of the year revenues don't come in until April, May. This year was particularly late. So we had, I think, about $18,900 in additional revenues that were not on your report. So just so you know. So we're sitting great. If you look at it, you probably think, well, why can't she budget nutrition better, home delivery better? Because I think that every year. But really, Courtney and I go back through that every year and we look at it. And part of the reason is, this year I did move wages. So I did take out, because we restructured and lost, had Nicole leave. Nicole had a pretty significant amount of wages coming out of service management. So I moved quite a bit, all of my wages pretty much, and Aaron's wages over to that since we had it. And took those out of nutrition. But we also had about 1,500, 1,600 less home delivered meals. So 1,755 a crack. That adds up as well. And that meant less paper supplies and less everything else. That's good news that we had those less meals, because that means our prioritization project is working. Hopefully those people are still getting the meals through Congregate, and Congregate has gone up. So we are seeing that. But the other thing that happens in that budget a lot of times is Platteville is a tough one to get subs for. And all of our people in these meal sites, most of them, with the exception of Deanna and Michelle, are limited term with no benefits. So when they take off, there's no pay. And when Courtney ends up having to fill in, which she often does in Platteville, because the subs are a little scared of Platteville, you know, I mean, it's a harder place to fill in. Courtney ends up doing it, and so then it doesn't.
Why do you think Platteville's harder?
It's just so many meals. It's the volume.
It's the volume?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot when you're doing 50, 60 meals. It really is. It's not a place I want to go. I mean, I can go to Muscadet and do 20, and I think that's a lot. But when you get over 20, it's a lot, because you have to portion everything out. So you have to know your, like, our meal site managers are good. They can get a tray. They can know, like, they can almost always, especially some of our, you know, Deanna and Michelle, they can eyeball something and think, I'm not going to have enough of that. I can't do that. I have to literally get my scoop out, make sure I'm pouring, you know, it's a lot. So when you're a sub and you don't do that on an everyday basis, it's a lot. So, and we've got, Mary Jo's a really good sub, but she also does Keep a City. So it just doesn't always, you know, it's a hard place for a sub just to walk into when you don't do it very often. So. Some of them are much easier. You know, Cassville, you're doing maybe 8. So even if you've never done it before with 8 meals, you can kind of figure it out and do it. But when you've got 50, 60 and different milks, I mean, you wouldn't think all of that's complicated, but I've done enough home-delivered meals and Val knows too. You know, somebody wants chocolate, somebody wants 2%, somebody's got to have skim milk. And so you got to make sure that the volunteers have the right stuff on their routes.
Like a Blue River used to have, I only had like 7 or 8 meals. So I just had a sheet. Okay. So and so wants this. But like you said, 60 meals. Okay. Where's this person?
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is. And we have good people that do it all the time. So we do when I budget the wages, and most of that, like a lot of the differences in the wages, we budget that for a full winter with no cancellations, no time off. But last year was not a good winter. So some winters we barely have a cancellation, and other winters we have several. So, we went back through it, and I'm like, no, I have to stand by it. So a lot of it was just in those other areas, and you can't really account for how many meals are. Luckily, it was less meals and not 1,500 more meals, or we'd have been in trouble. So that's where that comes from. The rest of them, let me see. The benefits specialist, she actually was on leave. So, and her time reporting was excellent. So we got some increase in revenue, and then she was off partially unpaid for a leave. Bus looked good. Specialized, we've just had less demand. We used to have a regular consumer that we don't have anymore. Taxi, actually, the revenue in here is not correct. The finance department knows about it, but they're in the middle of the audit, and they were going to have auditors look at it. So I did let them know. We've still got some 24 in there that didn't get moved. So we'll get that taken care of. Trips, we were about 9% less rides. Family caregivers, I budgeted more in revenue for family caregivers, thinking we were going to get our full amount for the ARPA funds, and we only got $15,750, which was good because we managed to spend out the ARPA funds, and then we just could not attract enough caregivers to even spend out the actual normal grant that we have. We had some of our caregivers have to be off. And we did a lot of advertising, but we just couldn't get any more on. So, which sometimes happens. People always think there's somebody else that needs it more and don't do that. So, so that's where that came from. AFCSP, the Alzheimer's Family Caregiver, pretty much okay there. I think we had one that didn't spend all their, or one or two that didn't get all their money spent, but. Again, that happens with that age group. And then ADRC, again, we lost some wages for Nicole. She was at a higher wage, so we saved some money there. And then the time reporting is always, they time reported really, really well. So I tend to probably budget a little more conservatively because that can, the time reporting is always based on how many people needing Medicaid or that we talk Medicaid or that we do Medicaid-related activities with come in our door. So you never know for sure. That's what it's dependent on. So good news is we're on the right side. We're A plus. Not needing more money. So any questions? I just wanted to follow up with you because I knew we had a few things out in March when we were still there. I think all of our Strable accounts have now come in. There could be a DOT one still out there. I have to look on that. DOT is really late sometimes, as evidenced by we're just finishing up the 2018 audits with them. So it's crazy.
Well, we'll move on to the vouchers.
Which you now have, so any questions on any of those? I apologize for that. If you notice something that you think should be there, just give me a call or send me an email and I'll get out to you. Oh, here, Marilyn, I'll give you one. You don't have it.
Wonderful.
Person who did the packet wasn't very very good. That was me.
Page two, could you just explain sort of three quarters of the way down, Iowa County Health Department.
Or outreach.
What? Yeah, that's for our dementia care grant.
Oh, okay.
So we have to, they have to bill us for some of their outreach that they do through their newsletter so we
I'm
can
not
try
questioning
it
the amount. It's, I mean, it's so funny.
What's that?
I wasn't questioning the amount.
No. Was, yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
We have to charge that out for the grant for them, so.
I'll move to approve the vouchers.
I'll second it. To approve the vouchers by Kathy, seconded by Vicki. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Move on to the financial report.
Okay. So you know I don't love this report this time of year with the revenue because the revenues don't come in. So it always makes us look so lopsided. So we should be at about 42%. So expense-wise, if you want, support services, we're at 34%. Congregate, we're at 36%. Just for expenses. Home delivered, we're at 30%, which seems low, so it must be missing a bigger bill on there.
Can I ask a question before you go too, too deep in this?
Yeah.
It looks like you ran the report as of April.
Yeah. I did.
So that's 33%.
33%. I knew that sounded high. I put that in this morning, so my percents are right. Or maybe not.
I think you're probably right, but it's...
Well, I have had a bad week. I'm really sorry. No, I don't think I am right. So
but
let me
report,
double check.
It says that the report's run...
It
4
is.
Of 26, so that's the end of April.
It is.
Current to date.
I apologize because I did this. I did that very quickly this morning. So I tell you, I'm not lying when we say we've had a busy week. So I'm trying to do too many administrative things that are not in my wheelhouse most of the time. So I apologize for that. I can do the percents for you, or you can take a look at it. I think we're good with all of them. I didn't see anything that's out of line. I just like to know the percent versus, I just don't like this report because it makes the revenues just skew it when they're not in there, and we get them so late that, yeah. I apologize. I am having apparently a whole week, so. This is kind of how.
But your revenues are ahead of expenses, so I understand that there's a lag. But
there's always a lag.
There's a lag in expenses, too.
Yeah, well, we're good right now, so I apologize for that. You're human.
Yeah.
Apparently. Apparently. Apparently, I need the 4-day weekend, I think. No, last week was crazy. We were trying to do a lot of things. So I'll put a plug in for as we move forward, we really do need more administrative help because I am doing all of the financial reports now with this new state grant, and that takes up a lot of my time. So so I apologize for that. So take a look at it and see if you think anything looks too out of line, and I'll be happy to answer it for you. And I'll try to have that better next month. That's what I get for being in a hurry this morning and thinking I could do that. So
any questions on the financial report, I'll entertain a motion to accept the report as presented. Motion by Vicki.
I'll second.
Seconded by Gary. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Right.
We'll move on to the report. Sorry.
Well, I don't know. I don't trust anything I've written down now. We had healthy eating, lunch and learn, brain health and not hurt, Medicare scans, which is today, 10:30, and Medicare 101, celebrate the Older Americans Act. We did get a nice note from Virgil from AARP. They had 325 tax filers this year, so that's a lot. 80 more than last year. So they'll probably want to come back. Let's see. We talked about some of this already. We did get some appreciation gifts out to volunteers in honor of Volunteer Appreciation Month. We're doing a baseball theme for Elder Fest, so we did a baseball theme. We try to match it up sometimes with volunteers. So we did a baseball theme with them, and we got some little baseball tumblers and got those out. We are very, very dependent. Both our nutrition and our transportation program could not function without those volunteers. So. You ever see one of our volunteers out delivering them, thank them very much because we definitely appreciate them. We are working on time and task reporting training through the PurePlace state database. That's going to start July 1st. We've got staff actually double reporting right now, so they're time and task reporting on their workbooks, their normal workbooks that they do, and they are time and task reporting in the system, and then trying to reconcile those and making sure they match up when we get started. So it's had its, you know, stops and starts, but hopefully it goes well. I, on the other hand, have just learned the reporting, you know, and now that will all change July 1st. So the timing for me is not great, but we'll figure it out. I don't really think it's a matter of pulling the reporting different. I don't think the reports will actually change for me, but it's just really down the report that will be a little bit different. Find Your Own Driver is going to kick off June 1st. So we've been fast and furious on developing those forms and policies so that we have that in place. When people call in for transportation, we will actually be doing more of a formal assessment. In the past, we've done more of an informal assessment. We'll formalize it a little bit more to see what their needs are, you know, what their supports are, family and friends-wise, and then see if they qualify for this program or not. Again, there's not a lot of money attached to it because I don't want to do that if there's not the demand. So. Next, a PIN bill. This is going to be something that impacts us quite a bit. We're signed into law this month as well. This bill will let immediate family members, including spouses, approve transfers from hospitals to rehabilitation facilities for incapacitated patients without first hitting court-appointed guardianship when no medical power of attorney is in place. So my advice would be to make sure you have your medical attorney or medical power of attorney in place. This was really done to benefit hospitals who are often sitting with people in the emergency room for a long time and not being able to place them somewhere when they don't have a place to be. But so this would allow, there is a hierarchy to it, but it's not just spouses. It goes from spouses to children to, it can be a domestic partner that, you know, there's some bigger categories that are much looser than what we're used to. And it could affect us when we're trying to determine who we would be working with in this situation, because it gives people powers that normally we have to have it formalized. So this, the state is working on those forms. We haven't even seen them yet, and this will be starting June 1st. So. So, yeah, that could be.
You don't know what you're doing wrong with you. You don't know what you're supposed to do with.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I do understand it from the hospital's point of view, but it's a little. So I think we're going to focus probably next year. We'll be really trying to encourage more POAs and work with the hospitals to see if they want to maybe collaborate on workshop and get people to sign off on POAs. So it could get interesting. And potentially, if somebody ended up in the nursing home because of that, and nobody ever made the determination that they were no longer incapacitated, somebody could have the power over them for quite some time, which is a little bit scary, I think. So have a POA. That would be the main thing. Staff have been working on our ADRC services guide. That's always a big project. We've just taken the lead on that and trying to get all the services that we have in there. It's gotten bigger because the state has also decided to do a state services database. So we have to make sure that not only are ours up to date, the state one is up to date. So, and then May 31st. Ends our transportation contract with Inclusa. I've had numerous calls from Inclusa and MTM wondering why we don't want to extend that or I also, we have new family care providers. Anthem's coming on. My Choice is, I've had some conversation with them on our contract, which we don't have a contract with, which I've been round and round with them on. We are done May 31st. They were still trying to schedule rides into June. I had heard on the call yesterday that there's a rumor out there they're trying to extend it now to July 31st, which tells me they don't have enough transportation providers. I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know how that'll all play out, but like I said, there was only Lafayette was the only one out of our regional, former regional, that was possibly looking into it. The other three, including us, were not. So, but it does worry me for our consumers. But MTMs, I think when you talk with legislators, the one thing that we've had concerns about all along is MTMs process and taking complaints. Because we often hear, and that was a big thing on the state calls, about people getting left, not knowing they needed to book two rides, to and back, in their system versus them knowing it's a round trip or asking it or prompting them to find out if it's a round trip. And they weren't, in many cases, consumers didn't know that. We had a consumer get left in Madison already. So it's happened. It wasn't ours, but it was somebody. So the big thing is what we've always heard is that those complaints don't then get forwarded and the state doesn't always seem to have the most up-to-date information on that. So we'll see how it plays out. I definitely think they'll be back probably looking to make it easier for us to do this. And they're going to have to make it easier because it's not an easy process now. And we have had drivers say they're not going to do it. So we don't want to lose drivers either. So we'll see what does. So Inclusa is the only contract we have right now, and that is for meals. I think moving forward, that's something that you'll, when I'm gone, that you'll need to look at. that process is a nightmare as well. I'll be honest with you. I think it's always a tug of war with the family care contracts. The state made a comment the other day in a nutrition call I was on about Laura said, well, if your meal costs are going up and you're charging them this, and I'm thinking, well, you guys do the meal cost in the middle of the year and they don't want to change their contracts until December 31st, and they will drag them out even if you say that, and we got to give 60 days notice if we're going to terminate. So yeah, I can't tell me that. Now, this last year, I put in whatever the consumer index price percentage was to make sure, hopefully, we didn't have, But, again, it's like this hand's not talking to this hand sometimes, and they're all under the same system, and that doesn't work very well. So you can't say that if there's a difference in your meal cost, if, let's say, we charge $17.75, but the true cost was 18, then, what she's saying, and the county needs to pick up that extra 25%. Well, the county's not going to subsidize family care. So they need to figure that out, because that's putting counties in a world of hurt, and Inclusa set up a foundation after they went to Humana. So there's plenty of money there. So those are some of the issues we're facing, because they don't return. But when you're trying to change the meals or get a different cost, and especially if it's an increase, there's a lot of dragging their feet on that. So But if we're going to lower them, they're and we have to be careful what we charge because it is Medicaid, so we have to make sure. That's the other thing, you know. You don't want to be charging more than you should or what you think your meal cost is, what's reasonable, because you don't want to be overcharging Medicaid. It's an interesting conundrum, I think, that, and I think more and more ADRCs are feeling the pressure from it and kind of pushing back a little bit. So, but again, as I said, Family Care also doesn't have the same requirements as us, so the meals that they provide don't have to meet the same requirements that we do. So if they're providing food to somebody that's not through us, then that person might not be getting one third of their daily nutritional needs. Not like that either, so. So as you talk to legislators, my thing would be to say, you know, they really should. Why wouldn't they have to provide one third of the daily nutritional needs? We do that in daycares, we do that for school children. Why wouldn't we do it for the elderly? So that's my 2 cents on that. My soapbox. That's all I have. And then the program reports are in there. I did stick them in again in the interest of time, and staff were busy training, so I tried to run some reports for the program reports and stick them in here. So the ones you see in May and April that don't have anything before them are here to date, because I didn't have time to do them by county. It's hard to look at these under information and assistance since they've sort of, the new database has sort of changed things. So moving into this year, we'll have more comparison from last year, but when you're getting into the old database, it's kind of apples and oranges because they've changed some of how they report some of this. So it's a little harder to look at. And I should point out under information and assistance, when you see RE for short-term service coordination, we should never see very much in there. We're really not supposed to do that unless it's a special circumstance. That's more case management, and we don't do case management typically unless we're really worried somebody needs just that extra help for a few weeks. Complaints advocacy can be our complaints, but they are also complaints lodged against like Family Care and other community partners like that. So just so you're aware of that.
Any questions, Lori, on the program reports or her director's report?
Oh, and one thing I didn't add on the finance report, if you see, you're going to see in the future, we did after looking at how we're doing the GEARS reports for the state, I did put the elder, we folded elder benefits specialists into ADRC. We needed to better report how we're doing the admin for that. So that's all folded together now. So I had, regional office never did it that way, so I kind of thought maybe we shouldn't, but it didn't make sense to me after moving forward. So finance just did that this past month. So.
Are there any other questions of Lori on any subject?
I have one question. Do you have a date set for Elderfest?
We do. It is October. I don't know if I had it. October 23rd. Let me look at my phone and see if I've got that
right. Fourth Friday.
It, well, you would think, but it's based on the extension. So some every once in a while we have to change it if they've got something on there. They try to book me early right away, but every once in a while. Yeah, it's the 23rd.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions?
It's a baseball theme, so wear your baseball shirts. The fair did red, white, and blue, so we were trying to come up with something that would kind of red, white, and blue, and all American baseball. seem to work. So we have to have.
We're going to have hot dogs.
We have to have a good theme. Well, I've been trying to get the Wienermobile for years to come, and I think they should come for the baseball theme, don't you?
Yes.
So far,
Eric could drive.
So far, I have tried to get them for the Orchard Manor car show because I think the older people would love that, but I can't get them here. I tried. So I put in every year for it to try to get them to come. I mean, the baseball theme would just seem to be like, oh, I know. And we get a lot of people.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. They said, are you serving hot dogs? So I said, yes. Yeah. So if you call, I'll serve hot dogs.
Figure out a way to make it.
Steve will grill some up for me. So yeah, I'm trying to get them to come. So the vendors have liked the theme. So it wasn't ever my intent to do a themed Elderfest year after year, but the vendors really seem to enjoy it. They get into it, so we just
need to. I'll have to join a league and get a uniform.
There you go. League of their own.
The only thing I've ever had to do with baseball was I was always the last one picked in school to be on somebody's teams.
Me too. Me too.
Me too. I closed my eyes and fuck.
I have a very athletic daughter, but she didn't get any of it from me, so.
If there's nothing else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion.
Motion by Vicki.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kathy to adjourn. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
We've been watching. We have a picture from basketball that